8.
Any last words?
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to Chuck and Lou. It is Sunday evening, and Lou, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
It's going pretty good? You just came from some CNR games up at West, I hear. Your brother was playing?
Yes.
Is it going okay up there?
Yeah, it's going all right.
Are the little kids staying off the ropes on the mezzanine? That's all I want to know.
Well, there's baseball practice, so it's all right.
Oh, good. That's fine. That's fine.
And the principal is kind of in charge.
It's always good when the principal's there watching this kid, because then you can make sure that everybody's on their best behavior. But tonight we have a guest. And we have Kevin Roberts from St. Dominic High School. Kevin, how's it going?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming. You know, Kevin and I go way back. We're the same age. We played basketball together with, some AAU stuff back in the day. And I always remember Coach Watkins was one of our coaches back in the day. And just we've kind of grown up together. And it's kind of nice to take this journey now that we're in the St. Dominic tournament over Christmas time. So I see Kevin quite a bit. We play during the season. We could possibly play you 4 times this year.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy to think. It really is.
You know, and we've split so far. Yep. First game, we played at West, and it was a very intense game. I believe you guys hit a 3 at the buzzer off the backboard, right, to send it to overtime?
Correct.
And then we just played at your place, and we went into double overtime again.
Yeah.
So realistically, we could play each other like 5 times if you count the overtimes.
Right. And we're pretty evenly matched, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
So we're going to be grinding this thing out next week, and then obviously looking forward to district play where it really matters. So we'll talk about that later in the show, and we'll kind of talk about our district that we're in the same one. And this weekend, you know, Lou came over today, and we did our typical nerd out, watched some golf today. It's still going on right now. Big Phil is in the lead here. And then
with 2 holes left, and they're about to call it.
And they're going to call it, and then you're upset because they're going to play tomorrow at 10, and you have to make up a test.
Yep.
So you're not going to be able to kind of sneak in a little bit of the 2-hole challenge
hopefully
tomorrow.
Hopefully they delay it for about an hour.
Yeah, you could use a little rain.
Yep.
You know, and then maybe after that test, are you gonna bomb this test, or are you gonna do well?
I need to pass it.
You need to pass it.
Yeah.
What is it?
Business management test.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Nice.
Over basically GDP and
no idea what that means.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about it. Cause
I don't want to.
But kind of moving on here, we're going to obviously, start with our West Side talk. And, Kevin, feel free to chime in as we talk. But obviously the first portion is we're going to talk about our wrestling program. Give us a little update on our wrestlers.
All right. So districts this weekend for the boys. We only have boys wrestling at West. And 5 state qualifiers came out of it. Tristan Hatchell won his weight class. So he's going to state. His twin brother, Trevor, finished 3rd.
Do you think they wrestle at home?
Probably not. And then 3 other state qualifiers. Junior Ronald Watson, first time going to state. Big step up for Ronnie.
Yeah, happy for Ronnie.
And then Trent Busby, also I think he's making a return to state. And Alex Meyer, first year varsity, is going to state as well.
And what a great year for our wrestling program as far as kind of getting back in the swing of things. We've always had a really good wrestling program. Tell us a little bit about the new leadership. We got a new coach this year.
Yeah, Coach Rocky Vircher teaches over at Hardin.
And you can just tell just by watching their practices. You know, Kevin, you know as a coach, you can just kind of tell when there's a new sense of, I guess you would say, you kind of see who's we got old Coach Craig Martin's back up there, throwing bodies around. And you can just kind of tell, that they have a little bit of sense of urgency in getting back to where they were. They haven't really, the last couple of years they've been okay, but you can just tell the commitment. Whenever you look up there, there's like 5 coaches, and
the stakes are stepped up when Coach Martin tells the boys, "Hey, I've never been on a staff that's lost to St. Charles High."
That's right, and this year they did not.
St. Charles High
did not. So let's go ahead and move on. Why don't you, I know it's been 2 weeks here with Super Bowl Sunday. I know you were probably in tune to the halftime entertainment on Super Bowl Sunday. You loved that, didn't you? California. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? But anyways, why don't you tell us about our basketball team in the last, I think it's what, 4 games?
Yeah, so taking it back 2 weeks ago, I had Winfield at home, beat them by a typical 23. It looked good performance, but everybody got in.
That's good.
That was a good win. Go on the road to Orchard Farm that Friday night, and I think we probably had our worst first half of the season.
Yeah, I thought about just leaving. It was 17-7, and I thought I might just go home.
That's probably how Orchard Farms girls coach was thinking.
Yeah, it was 30. The girls
it was 40-4 at halftime.
It was 32-0 at one point. In a game, the girls game, when they played us
The first time was only by 9 points.
It was kind of tight, you know? Yeah. So what did the Warriors do in the second half against the farm?
Turned it on, and thanks to a Blake Weber technical.
You know, Blake Weber, thank you. You know, Trent comes out, I think hits a three at the buzzer.
Hits a three-pointer. Lindolph might have gotten fouled.
And all of a sudden, a kid comes running on the floor, and next thing you know, there's pop, you know, a tee, and I'm looking around going, what's going on? And next thing you know, I see Trent shooting free throws, and that's great.
We take a one-point lead, and we got the students chanting scoreboard at Orchard Farm.
It took us a little too long, in my opinion, for them to actually be able to chant that evening.
Yes.
You know, one of those nights, I really don't like that night, being a teacher there, and you go back and...
Those students didn't really like it at night?
No.
The fifth grade students.
Yeah, they shouldn't. They had the sign that many of you have seen on Instagram. This said something like, we love Mr. Steinhoff
every 364
days out of the year, but not tonight. So, and my kids kind of eat that up, but I it's one of those nights I'm glad when it's over, and I'm glad we got the victory, and then... How did we do this week?
And played Hall North on Tuesday and beat them 71-58. I personally thought that was not one of our best defensive performances.
I think on the defensive end, we really struggled, especially late in the second quarter. You know, we're up 15 or 17, and we were playing some younger guys, you know, to get them. And they played really well. And then we put our starters back in, and from like the 3.5-minute mark to the end, they were just, I mean, we just couldn't guard anybody. And it ended up being like 6 or 7 at halftime. And, you know, a game that
we put it away at the end of the third quarter. That score was a little bit closer than what it really was.
I agree. And then we moved on to a game where we didn't have a whole lot of time to prep for. And if you don't have a lot of time to prep for, I don't care how good or bad Vianney is. We played Vianney on Thursday night. And tell us about that.
Not a very good first half again. A lot of illegal screens, supposedly.
Yeah, there were some calls.
You know when John Wilson gets knocked to the ground in the middle of a court on a supposed legal screen? And it's probably...
Earthquake.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at times. Coach, what was it? Have you played Vianney in the last couple of years?
We have not, no. But I've watched him play.
Yeah, yeah, and it's one of those teams where he does a phenomenal job.
He really does.
He really does. And his kids play hard, and they just guard. And they kind of, I don't know the right way to say it, they're always up the line a little bit. And it's a defensive term. But to me, they really shrink the floor. Mm-hmm. And you really can't run a lot of your stuff. And next thing you know, every pass is life or death, you know. And they just wore us out, you know. And
I think Coach got pretty mad about the
I just got upset because, you know, they're kind of a trapping full court man-to-man team, and they were kind of handsy, and I thought, you know, and Trent was kind of getting beat up, and Trent was,
next thing you know, Trent gets to a sweet spot, popped on the elbow.
Well,
no
in the
foul.
Possession before, he got popped in the kind of one of those where they hit you in the chest, you know, when you go up to shoot, and they didn't see it. And the next possession, he gets to a sweet spot there on the elbow, and he hits him right on the elbow, but it's not seen. And I'm thinking, we're not going to get those calls, we're not going to win.
Coach tells the ref that's a foul. Turns around, tweet, boop. Technical.
And that's all you said?
Well, I said that's a foul, and I think I was probably a little bit emotional.
Yeah.
But
there was a little bit of sharpness behind it.
And sharp's probably the key word there. So I got one, and then, of course, got the seatbelt. And Lou, why don't you tell us what your job was the next quarter and a half?
I had to be the get-back coach.
And explain to people out there what's a get-back coach.
During the Rams run to the Super Bowl, Sean McVay had, I think it was his strength and conditioning coach for the Rams, be his get-back coach, where he had to grab his back whenever he would try to run out to the field, yell at the refs. So,
and there were a couple times, as a coach, I mean, it's so hard to sit down, you know, and then all of a sudden there's a little thing here or there, and you kind of get up, and there were a couple times where, you know, Lou had to remind me that I was in a seatbelt, and Coach Faust did a good job, too, reminding me, he goes, you don't want to get tossed out of this one, then you can't coach the next one. And not like I was. I mean, it was one of those deals where I talked to the three refs after the game, and it wasn't like, you know, it was just one of those things. You got to stick up for your guys. So we lost that one. So I think we had won 7 in a row, and
15-7 now.
And 15-7.
Big game Tuesday.
And who we got Tuesday?
The Pioneers.
The Pioneers roll into the Warrior House. So you know a little bit about the Pioneers.
Oh, I do. Quite a bit.
And it's one of those teams that you're never gonna beat by 20.
Nope.
You're never probably going to lose by 20, but you're going to look up at the scoreboard and it's going to be tight.
Yep.
You know, either way, probably in the, you know, low 40s is probably where they want to keep it. And we're going to obviously try to do some things to disrupt them a little bit, but that'll be a great atmosphere and a good game to play in city, I guess you could say here. It's kind of lost its realm a little bit for us, and it's kind of gained for you. And we'll talk a little bit about that later
sure.
as well. What else we got? We got the
girls last Friday played Orchard Farm, won by 40.
Yeah, and then, you know, kind of touched on that. And then they played, in my opinion, I watched about 6 minutes of, you know, the fourth quarter against Francis
Howell North. They played an extremely improved Howell North team.
I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, very improved. They only had about 6-7 wins like West last year. And they're 15-5 now or something like that. Contending the GAC South.
Yeah, and I think our girls hung in there.
They hung in there, lost by 9, but they Allen North got very good guards, got some big forwards.
They do. They do. And they play well. They move the ball. They have that, and I forget her name. Is it Delarue or
Delarue?
She can really play. You know, she can. One of them, I just was watching, and she could really play and fill it up. So that's kind of your West Side talk there. And we're going to get into some in season talk. Kevin, do you like hockey?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I watched the Blues today.
Did you watch them today?
I did.
You know what I was doing when the Blues were playing today?
What's that?
I was putting salt down up at West to make sure that we could get CNR in today.
Yeah.
And I watched a little bit of it last night, you know, the back-to-back with Nashville, and I really kind of thought, man, 11:30 to like 2:30 time frame, what a beautiful time to maybe end your coffee and watch the game. And next thing you know, I'm up at West falling on my butt, putting salt down so we could get the games
in. I was at home watching the game.
And so Lou is a huge hockey fan. So is it 6 in a row, I think, now, right?
Yeah.
Tarasenko with a hat trick today.
Yep.
So,
Lou. You know, it gets passionate when you run home, run to your mom's car from the bus on Thursday night, make her drive as fast as possible to get home. They'll watch overtime.
And you had to go fast because it's not like you only live 100 yards away from school, so she had to really step on it to get you there.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Had to get home, watch the last minute and a half of overtime, get really fired up about that, and Saturday brought the old Chromebook up to SCB to watch that while watching my brother's game.
So it's the Blues are back, baby. You know, let's just, we might be able to just sneak in there.
I think they will.
First wild card.
And hey, I tell you what, you know, obviously it comes down to some goaltending too. Yep. You know, so and by the way, just if anybody didn't know, Bryce Harper has signed with my Tuesday Night Softball League.
There you go.
If anybody was wanting to know. So he's going to hit fourth for us. I'm going to hit third on Tuesday nights over at Kiwanis.
Manny Machado signed with my Thursday night softball team.
Yeah, he's playing over at Wapphorst, right?
Yeah, he'll be hitting
fifth. He's hitting fifth. Who's hitting fourth in your lineup over there at WAP?
Probably me.
You? What about third?
I don't know.
Yeah, so, you know, it's good.
We got to find the three guys.
It's just definitely good, you know, to have Machado and Harper in our backyard here. You know, and then Bryce can go, you know, with me after the game to Tubby's and enjoy some chicken wings. And
Machado will join the local American Legion team.
I think he's going to get some reps in with the St. Peter's Legion as well this summer. So it's good that, you know, those two are signed and delivered. But what a crazy deal that is. You know, it's just the two best players in baseball and they're sitting at home just wondering, where am I going to go?
You know what was crazy? The Lakers-Celtics game Thursday night, right after the Blues game, that ending of...
Yeah, Lakers won, right?
Lakers won.
Rondo hit it. Yep.
That last minute.
Good for
LeBron,
him.
LeBron, three-pointer.
Yep.
Kyrie, two-pointer. Brandon Ingram, three-pointer. Or no, Kyle Kuzma, three-pointer. Kyrie, two-pointer. Brandon Ingram misses a layup. Al Horford, it slips off of his hands.
Right through Tatum's hands.
And Tatum and Horford, and Rajon Rondo hits the game-winning
splash.
Jumper.
I mean, going back there to Boston, what a huge moment for him. You know, I'm not a huge Rondo fan because
of the punch.
He's just kind of annoying to me at times. But he's been in the league forever, and good for him. That was a good game. That was a definitely a good game.
That's probably the only fourth quarter of an NBA game I've watched all year.
Kevin, are you an NBA guy, a college basketball guy?
You know what? I watch any basketball, but I love the NBA. I do. I think when you get the best players in the world, no matter if it's regular season, postseason obviously is better than regular season, but I watch NBA every night.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
And these people who are always like, oh, they travel too much. I'm like, they're the best players in the world, and they're on your 72-inch TV. I mean, what more could you want to enjoy? You know, the college game is unique because it's different players every year, and a lot of people, you know, for me, I don't really have a college basketball team that I, like, follow.
Yeah,
I mean,
me neither.
It was SLU for a while. My parents had season tickets, and I'm kind of on the Mizzou bandwagon just because I live here, but I could really care less. So I think if you're like one of those people who, you know, if you're like a huge Duke fan or you have a team, maybe it's
or if your last name is Faust, you got to go with North Carolina.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where that started from, but, you know, sometimes you have teams. But that, you know, the Virginia-Duke game this weekend, it's one of those games where I don't care what you say. Those are two really good teams. And
I didn't get to watch it.
When Duke shot 62% from the three-point line, and I don't care who you're playing. If any team shoots 62%, when they come in the game shooting 30%,
you're not going to beat them.
You're not going to beat them. You know, and obviously
you're not beating Zion.
No, and many of you saw the block from Zion. He's just a phenomenal player, and he's huge. And two good teams that I think are going to make a run in the tournament. For Virginia's sake, I hope they do to kind of, you know, take care of last year's one and done. But so we talked about, Kevin, you said you play some golf?
I do, much as I can.
Yeah, we're some golf nerds. Yeah. So if you went to play at St. Peter's Golf Course, and maybe it was your 10th round of the year, what would you shoot?
Oh, golly. If this was 10 years ago, before kids and all that, I would probably shoot, you know, even par.
Wow.
Dang. But now it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know
to play down in Cape a lot.
Really?
A lot. We belong to a club down there. And so,
Were there a lot of options to play down in Cape? And we're going to talk about that, you know, your life down there. But I wouldn't think so.
No. You have, probably one of the nicest golf courses in Missouri, Dalhousie.
Uh-huh.
And so if you could get on there, that was a treat.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just making sure you weren't telling us you shot even par in, like, your backyard in a mini golf course.
Yeah. That's so about it right now.
We are. If I went to St. Peter's and it was my 10th round, I'd shoot an 86. I shoot an 86 every time. It doesn't really matter. I play better at better courses.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to the weather changing here.
What's your top course in St. Charles County?
My top course in St. Charles County is, I've the opportunity to play bogey all the time, and it's great. If I just want to go fart around, it's Links of Dardenne for the price. As long as I don't hit the wire on hole two. But one thing that's the worst about the Links, if you're a teacher in the summer and you might be going out around 2:30, it might be a little warm day, so you might enjoy some cold ones. It does not have a turn. You are out there in the middle of nowhere, and you have to have extra ice. So for all those people out there who have never been there, you might want to come prepared.
We played both those courses.
Well, you know, your season's coming up 2 weeks away. Are you sharp? Are you putting in the basement? Getting sharp?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what would you say is the best part of your game going into the season?
Putting and short irons.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah,
that's the best part of your game. That's good.
A little bit of a mess.
So you're already telling me your driver's going to be a mess, and you haven't even started the season? So is it in your mind?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's going to be the biggest problem.
So let's move on now. Let's talk a little bit more local stuff. You know, SLU got pounded by St. Joe's.
It's an emotional night for St. Joe's, though.
It was. You know, it was a cool thing that SLU did. And obviously, SLU is just in a mess. They got 6 or 7 guys. And it's just, you know, I'm still going to blame Cartier for whatever happens this year, just because that's kind of how I am. Then you flip over to Missouri. You know, Missouri loses to a good Tennessee team. I think they battled for the most part. They did cover. The spread was 18, as we were talking about on the bus, and I told them there was no way.
I said 35.
Yeah, I thought that was an easy bet, and obviously Coach Sire the next day said, did you see the score? I did,
yeah,
so they covered.
I told them, did you see the score of the Blues game?
That's right. And then they played A&M, right, this week, and they lost.
They played A&M yesterday. We were up by 9-8 at halftime, and then the poop hit the fan.
Yeah, they sure did. Then you look at Courtney Ramey, a local standout, having 17.
After Duke, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Just going nuts.
That's right.
Including a pretty nasty dunk.
Yeah, did you see that? I think it was probably one of the top 10 on SportsCenter.
Yeah, I think
nasty
it was.
Dunk. He was one of my favorite high school players. I think he's a true point guard. I've said it before on the show. I wish he was a Tiger, just because I think he would have changed the Tiger culture. I think he's a culture guy. I think he's a tough dude. But for him to, he's really playing well in Texas.
I saw Shaka Smart sitting in the stands at Lindenwood watching Webster Groves play Fort Zumwalt South. That's when I knew Courtney Ramey is not going to be a Mizzou Tiger. And that was just a few days before Konza Martin's in the house at St. Charles West watching
them
play CBC.
Just didn't work out. So, obviously, you know, we're spring training's about here. And Kevin, are you a Cardinals fan?
I am. I'm a Cardinals fan. I don't follow it religiously, but
gotcha. Yeah. So we're total opposite of me. I am a freak.
Are you?
You know, I can't wait. It consumes me every night from 7 o'clock until 10:15. You know, and that's just kind of who I am. And baseball's kind of been my thing.
I'll start getting back to the Cardinals once the Blues win the Stanley Cup.
Oh,
this year.
Okay. We'll see if that happens. I would love for that to happen. That'd be great for the city. And here they come.
Watch
you never know.
You're gonna watch the hockey games in June.
You should lay some money down on Bovada. For them to win you don't even know what that is, do you?
Yeah, Vegas.
Oh, you kind of do. Well,
yeah, well,
you?
I was kind of there this summer.
Okay. So how many wins? I said the Cardinals, I think they're going to win 89 games.
95. They got to win 90 to make the playoffs.
Okay.
89 is not good enough. You don't want to be average.
I'm just assuming that they're going to have some sort of injury. That's just kind of the way I'm at. But 89
is
still pretty
Dexter.
Good.
It's going to be Dexter gets hurt again.
That's fine. If anybody's going to get hurt, that's totally
just
fine.
Just not, as long as it's not Bader or Flaherty, it's okay.
Okay.
Or Bro Neal.
You got a man crush on Bader?
Yeah, I guess so.
A little bit, okay.
I mean, he's one of the top 10 outfielders in the MLB, or top 10 center fielders.
So, and he's fun to watch. And he brings that intensity to the Cardinals. And I think the Cardinals are ready to go. You know, you see a lot of the guys already down there working out. And like I said, only 2 weeks
What's
away.
What's your take on Michael Walker asking for a contract extension?
Or he's truly, I think he's got to prove to me that he can pitch an entire season and he can throw 200 innings. You know, until mm-hmm. then, I'm really not going to listen to really what he wants. I think he's a good pitcher. He's a good guy to have, but
he's got some long hair already.
You see that picture of him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does have some long hair. So, well, let's get into the main part of our show here where we're going to kind of drill Kevin with some questions and at the same time, you know, kind of talk through some things. And a lot of these questions, you know, are kind of repeat questions from other coaches that we've had on because we want to get every coach's kind of perspective on certain questions. But then at the same time, we're going to have kind of Kevin tell us his background because Kevin has been all over the place as far as, you know, down south, obviously at Dominick and a stop at DeSmet. So we're going to go ahead, Kevin, could you just kind of give us your background of who you are and what's your deal from birth until now?
Okay. Well, I grew up in Sunset Hills, so which is like South County area. Helen Fitzgerald's, not far.
Oh my God, I love that place.
Yeah, stone's throw away from Helen's. So I attended a Catholic grade school there, St. Justin the Martyr. Uh-huh. And then I made my way to DeSmet, where I was there for 4 years. Played basketball, that was it. So, and then from there, I went on down to Southeast Missouri State, and I played there. And then I stuck around down there after my playing days were over, and I coached there and taught at Cape Notre Dame High School.
Okay.
And I was a JV coach for 3 years and the head coach for 7 years, teaching, assistant athletic director. Then made my way back to St. Charles County because my wife is from here. We had 3 kids, so it was time to move back. Took the job at Dominick, and I was a guidance counselor. Then I went to DeSmet. I was the AD for 2 years, and then I came back to Dominick. And so this is my second year as athletic director and basketball coach.
So where are you going to be next year?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
And I can tell just by being around you, this is where you want to be.
Oh, for sure, for sure. My wife teaches there. She's a business teacher at Dominick. We just built a house in July, so we live 5 minutes from the school. My kids go to Assumption.
That's great.
So we kind of stay in
Assumption
that little...
just shut down this week? They
did.
Yeah, did your kids have the flu?
They did not, but I was off Friday, which was nice.
That's nice.
I had a nice 3-day weekend. They had a 5-day weekend.
They did. So. They were off Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I'm glad that you're, you know, first off, you're comfortable, you know, and I think this is a place that you couldn't go wrong. And we're going to kind of talk about that, and we're going to talk about your past a little bit. But first off, I mean, tell us about your ball club. And I know you just had one of your players sign, but just give us a little rundown of your team. And I know you've had a very intense schedule.
Yeah. You know what? We are. We're a good team. I have eight seniors that kind of know what I expect. And this year's been a little different coaching-wise because it's a little less on the teaching side because I did that last year. You know, our schedule's just brutal.
It is.
It really is brutal. When you're playing St. Mary's twice, Cardinal Ritter twice, Tolton twice, Borgers, and that's just your conference.
Right.
So it's, you know,
you don't want to play. I don't want to play those teams once.
No, I don't either. Oh. I don't either. So whenever I see them on the schedule, I'm praying for snow. And then as athletic director, I just won't make up that game. But
just ignore the calls.
Yeah, right. But 8-13 right now, which is not indicative of really who we are. But we've beaten some good teams too, and we've, you know, we should have beat Tolton at Tolton. We miss a buzzer shot layup. Nobody around a guy, but you know, it wasn't meant to be. So we're getting better. We lost 6 straight. But
we gave Cardinal Ritter a good game earlier in the year.
We did.
And then we gave St. Mary's a good game, and we beat Lutheran this past week, so that was a good win for us. We needed that one.
You know, and they're much improved.
Who's that, Lutheran? Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, your tournament that we were in, I thought, oh, you know, there was some, well, obviously I saw him play against Sykeston, so I'm like, you know. But then I saw him play Monday against Duchenne, and they look good.
They do.
You know, they're doing a good job over there.
Yeah, they are. They had a freshman that's really starting to come along.
I think he's good.
Yeah, he is, and the big boy's starting to play a lot better for him.
So that's good, you know, to have the
Dominick has a win against a team that we have a loss against.
Who's that?
Sullivan.
Yeah, they do. You can kick their butt.
That was probably the best game we played all year.
Okay.
You know, we just guarded the heck out of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking to a really good coach who gave me a good scouting report was that they can't handle pressure.
Right.
And so...
someone asked me, it might even have been Lou or somebody, but they asked me, and I think we had kind of chatted about that game, and I had told people, I said, they're gonna beat them, and they're going to beat them by more than 10. Just because when you play a team and you... You know, I've played you several times, and then I played them, and I thought Kevin's defense is going to give these guys fits because I don't think they had seen a lot of that, and I think your guys' tempo and the way you guys play, I could see you guys turning them over a little bit. So that is a good win. I think, you know, many. I think you're your record could be, you know, if you played, I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. If you probably played our schedule, I think your record would be kind of like ours.
I agree.
I mean, I'm not 100%. Dogging our guys or our schedule, but I really think you could be a team that's 17-6.
Yeah. You won the game that you're supposed to win. And,
right.
You know, we've kind of lost the game that we're supposed to lose.
So, uh-huh. Yeah. And that's just kind of, you know, the schedule can kind of bite you sometimes. But at the same time, you know, it's cool to play those teams. Let's go ahead now. And let's talk about you as a player at DeSmet. Let's give us the years you played there and maybe some of the success you had and some of the guys you played with. I know you guys were very successful when you were there.
Yeah, we so from 98 to 2001
right.
Is when I was there. And we won the 99 state championship.
Okay.
I didn't play much on that team, but I was a part of the team as a sophomore.
I forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was. It was really neat. It was a really neat experience. And we had some really good players.
Was that Joe Reese?
Joe Reese, Mike Kernahan, yeah. Bob Keppel, Eric Blansett. So, and then the following year, we lost in the state championship to Vashon.
We've done that. Or I've been grown up. We've played games like that against Vashon. So you lost in the state final
to Vashon.
What was the score? Was it a close game?
Oh, it was close. I think we ended up losing by 5 or 6.
It was a great atmosphere.
It was. It was, you know, we had some rivals with them because the year in 99, we did beat them in the finals.
Uh-huh.
And then our senior year, we lost to Vashon in the quarterfinals. But overall.
What an experience. That's 3 straight years.
It was.
I mean, state championship, second in state, and then a quarterfinal appearance.
It's a 1-2 record. I think Coach Allen, there's a 2-1 record against Vashon.
Oh, right. Right. Well, he had some pretty good players too. But Vashon was, they were always good
back then. But, you know, at ending my high school career, I think we only had eight or nine losses in 3 years.
That's fantastic.
So it was great.
And that's awesome. And with a bunch of good, you know, good group of guys too.
Yeah.
You know, even the silly guys like Don Rogers, I'm sure it was a hoot to have on the end of the bench. But didn't he play like 1 year?
He did. He broke Joe Reese's nose.
Oh, I remember that.
Our best player.
Every team's got one. Every team's got a Don, you know? So after I call it D-World, your career continued. You went on and played basketball, like you said, at Southeast Missouri State. As a player, obviously, you know, I'm sure your focus was, you know, on the basketball scene. But if you haven't been to Southeast, you know, I did when I played baseball at SLU. And it was just so happened that every time SLU went down there, it was free keg beer day whenever we played. So I remember seeing Kevin in the
stands. That was the only baseball game I went to.
So it was one of those things. I thought, man, they have great, you know, great attendance down here. And then I was told by my now wife, who went to school there as well, that they only did that when they played SLU. So I think they're probably lucky that the SLU baseball team didn't just stop playing and come join them, because you're pretty good at that too. So hopefully, obviously, when you're there, you didn't, you know, spend too much time at Jeremiah's or the Palladium. Some of you might know who that is, or hopefully you weren't at the Purple Crackle. So anyways, after college, you said you went to Cape Notre Dame and you were the JV coach, and you kind of gave us a good background there, but you were on the staff, and so it was, I think we were in the same exact role, I believe. You were the assistant on the 07-08 team that went to state championship. You were the head coach the year after, correct?
Correct. Yep.
And then I was on the staff with Coach Hollander at West, so we actually, you know, played each other in a state final.
Right.
What do you remember about that game? I remember bits and pieces, but, I mean, I know our side of the story, but at the same time, what do you remember about that game?
You know, that year we had lost in the finals the year before that.
Okay.
And so we returned just about everybody. So we knew that we were going to be pretty good. That was a bad, it wasn't a very good game.
It was sloppy.
Low scoring,
yes.
Especially with the way that you guys shot the ball that year that I expected. Now our defenses did give you some fits, and our big boy kind of took over there. Ryan Willen was his name.
Uh-huh.
He kind of took over there in the fourth, but it was kind of sloppy, low scoring. And you guys, you didn't shoot the ball too well that day.
No. And I just remember us, you know, we ran out of gas, you know, and I think the defense that you guys had, you know, prevented us from doing some things that we normally would do. But I just remember that game, and after the game with those guys in the locker room, I just remember, because, you know, we had some really good players,
right.
and they were just, and one of those teams, it kind of reminded me their career, kind of at your career at DeSmet. I think they won over 100 games, like 108 games or something together. But I think, you're kind of right, because the reason why I probably don't remember it too well is, one, we lost,
right.
And two, I think it was a pretty crappy game.
It was.
You know, as
it
far
was.
As... you know, the way it was played. So kind of our, you know, our career paths here have kind of, you know, overlapped in some weird fashions into a point where, you know, we're getting old if I don't even remember a state championship game. I mean, I do, but you know what I'm saying?
I know, we are getting old.
I don't remember a soccer state championship from November.
Well, and you're young, so you might want to see a doctor. So obviously, you know, you said the wife and everything brought you back to this area. And then you come back and you're at Dominic for a quick stint. You know, you're the counselor. I remember driving out, I think, giving you some film one day. And then you left. And just kind of tell us, you know, was this Dismet AD job, was this when you first took it, were you just like, this is me. This is what I'm going to do forever. I mean, was there a time where you thought, it's not going to get much better than this. I'm back in my alma mater. Tell us just kind of how that rolled out, and then tell us kind of what you went through the first, you know, you were there 2 years, and that's pretty quick. And kind of tell us what happened in those 2 years and, you know, the goods and the bads, but obviously, it was quick.
Right.
You know, tell us about that.
Well, first off, the, you know, coming back and getting the Dominic job was absolutely great because Cape Notre Dame and St. Dominic were very similar schools, similar demographic.
Right.
You know, the dynamic of the school community was pretty much similar. So I knew that was a good fit for me. but then when, you know, Dismet came calling, I didn't even reach out for the job. You know, they called me and I thought, well, this is absolutely
just
great.
Fell on your lap kind
of
deal.
Yeah. I thought, man, this is great. Go back to my alma mater.
Right.
And when I got there, it was great. It really was. It was, I miss coaching, which was kind of the main thing is, but being over those programs, it brought back a lot of good memories. However, though, I quickly realized that Dismet was not the same place that it was when I graduated in 2001. Some things have changed. Not for the bad. It's still a great school.
Well, I think that's any school.
Correct.
You know, I mean, just, you know, there's times where I'm, you know, obviously I'm a St. Charles West guy, and there's times where I, you know, there's certain years I'm like, man, this place, you know, just doesn't seem like it used to be. And now this year I feel like, for some reason, just with our success in other sports, because I'm kind of on the sports aspect, I feel like it is kind of back where it is. But every school can go through that. You can have that feeling. I mean, it's okay.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, your memories are what you remember. And if it's a little different, it's kind of like, you know, yikes.
Right.
You know?
It was a real tight-knit community when I was there. And it's kind of changed a little bit.
Right.
At that time, I was looking, not really looking to leave, and it just happened that the head basketball coach left Dominic, and the athletic director was leaving at that time, and I made a call over there, and they, you know, allowed me to come back and do both.
Now, I have this eerie feeling that maybe someone who worked at the school, like your wife, did she find out first and call you immediately? Because I guess what I'm saying is your wife's the first one to know if you're happy or if you're not.
Right.
And you did your thing at Dismet, and I'm sure your wife probably thought, man, if I could just get him to come with me back to this Cape Notre Dame Dominic culture that he's been used to for the last 10 or 12 years. And like you said, you probably wouldn't have left for just anything.
No.
You know, it had to be a perfect situation.
It did.
And it did. And how did then all that unwrap?
Well, it actually happened in less than 6 hours.
Really?
Yeah, because I actually called the principal and a president over at Dominic and said, hey, I'd love to just talk to you about this. And they said, can you come in today? So I faked sick at Dismet, went over for an interview, talked a little bit, and then I was offered the job that evening and I took it.
That's crazy. And I don't think you probably know just because you're locked in and you got the job and it was quick, but that basketball job was being talked about as a job that everyone wanted.
I
think so too, just because, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, how Dominic's taken off here, just, you know, not with just obviously athletics, but academics and everything. But I feel like it was one of those jobs that every coach, when you talk in the coaching community, was like, God, I'd love that job. But no one really had the, you know, first off, if you're a public school coach, you're probably not going to bite.
Right.
But a lot of them were, I mean, there were people around who thought, especially probably coaches maybe a little later in their career.
Yep.
But it was a hot topic. Right. And then it was like, boom. Kevin's got it, and he's the athletic director.
Right.
You know, so that's awesome for you.
I appreciate it.
And you do a great job. But I think it would be interesting, you know, I obviously coach at St. Charles West and kind of followed. I followed Coach Jackson, who had it for a couple of years, but really I followed Coach Hollander.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to do. And you had to follow Mr. Welby, you know. And how's that transition been? Just because he's one of a kind.
He really is. If you don't know Jim, he's a great guy. The best thing about it, the situation that I fell into, I think the best thing that happened was he's walked in my shoes as athletic director. He understands the job and the commitment and the time away from family. So having somebody like that and then just support you and everything that you do, I was very, very blessed If we would have got a different president and somebody who doesn't understand what the athletic director or even what the St. Dominic athletic right. director, it varies from school to school, from public to private to whatever. And so to have Jim on my side is great for me.
Well, and I didn't know at the time. Of course, no one did. We thought maybe Jim was going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, it's got to be great to have someone who's kind of in charge of you, but they had your job and they know how hard it is.
Right.
You know, and he's a great guy. He's a dominant guy. That's got to, I mean, you can't tell me that if they ever, you know, if he ever left, that place would not be the same place. I mean, he's not going to, but what I'm saying is he's a great guy for that school. No matter what role he's in, he could be the custodian and he would still be looked at as just a great dude,
you
know,
for
that school. So, you know, kind of getting back now that we're going to talk some basketball here, but the AD and coaching thing. It doesn't happen much anymore. It can't happen in public schools. They just don't allow it anymore. I can't imagine doing both, but what does a typical day look like for you in basketball season where you're the AD all day and the basketball coach? What is a typical day?
Well, first of all, I have to be super organized, which I think I am, but at times I'm not. I got to have good help. You know, I have an assistant who's really, really helpful, especially during this time of the year.
Right.
A typical day is it's hard being the basketball coach when you know it's athletic director during the day.
Right.
I try to find time to watch film or. To at least check out stats or try to talk to somebody about the teams that we're playing or coming up. I have really good basketball coaches on my staff who are, well, two of them are young guys who are married, but they don't have kids. So they have a lot of spare time on their hands.
Energetic.
So energetic so that they can go out and watch teams and give really good scouting reports. On a daily basis, heck, I got to be the athletic director first. You know, it's every scheduling football in 2024.
What's the most annoying part of being an AD?
It's a scheduling for me, just because it's a giant puzzle. And when we're adding sports and, you know, there's only so much space.
Yeah, that's something I want to do.
Yeah, and I think it's to a point where that scheduling aspect has to just get frustrating because some of it is totally out of your control.
It is. And especially when, you know, there's dates that you can play, but other schools can't. And it's just, you got to find time and working with coaches who don't want to play this opponent and then that opponent right after that. And I get it where, you know, I don't want to play Cardinal Ritter and then St. Mary's on back-to-back nights.
Right.
So who schedules that? So you got to work with your coaches and constantly talk and communicate.
So when a parent calls and says, I want to speak to the basketball coach and the AD, do you have like a big giant size poster like cut out of yourself that you just sit there when the parent comes in and talk to me? That's unique.
Yeah, you know, I host and probably all schools do this, but they get a preseason meeting to where the athletic director kind of lays out expectations of parents and coaches and all that. And I tell the basketball parents, I said, I just basically spin in a chair and I turn around and you're going to get the same answer.
It's me.
But we had, honestly, what happened was, and that was one of the first things Jim and I talked about, Welby, is, you know, there's got to be somebody that those parents can go to. And he's that person.
Yeah.
Because he understands the job once again. So every other parent can come to me except basketball parents if they don't like what they hear.
And that makes sense.
Right.
And it, like you said, with it being Jim, it makes sense.
It does.
But I think you would be a little worried if it was not Jim.
Right.
You know, that would kind of be like, oh, because that relationship you have with him.
Right.
So I'm going to turn over the questioning part now to Lou, and then I'm going to hop in here a little bit here and there. And Lou, let's go.
All right. First question. What is your view in separating public and private?
Oh, geez. That's a great question, Lou. It really is. So
we always hear it from the public point of view.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. You know, you guys are public school, so you kind of hear it from that side of things. But for me, I think separating public and private would ruin high school athletics. It really would because being on the private side of things, our kids come from public school districts. That's what you have to understand is that the kids that we get from St. Cletus, they played with the kids from St. Charles West growing up. So they know them. They want to compete against them.
I can't imagine not playing Duchenne or Dominic, like for my kids.
Right.
Like, because like you said, I was a St. Cletus kid.
Right.
You know, I went to West. Well, I would have been left out of playing all those kids. You know, I'm a public school guy that I use the word boring. I think it would be a situation where you would lose a lot of the, you know, the so-called upsets and things like that.
It would lose its luster.
I think so. I think so. You know, some sports are a little bit different. I'm obviously basketball heavy, but some sports like soccer can sometimes get a little bit out of control because now, you know, teams are just, hey, let's take our 8 kids from this particular team and just send them to one school. So right. there's some sports that I could see that differ, but I think it would not be a good thing.
No, like you said, it would ruin rivalries. You know, our soccer program, both boys and girls right now, it's us and Zumwalt South, and it's right. kind of like a huge rivalry yeah. for us to get rid of that.
Do you? I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Is Zumwalt South kind of the school that, how can I spin this the right way?
Pain in the butt.
No, I'm talking about kids as far as, I feel like the sports programs at both schools are pretty good. I mean, are there kids that you kind of fight over? Is that kind of like, is a typical kid who goes to Zumwalt South pretty much, their options are pretty much, I'm going to go to Zumwalt South or Dominic. Am I seeing that right? Or
well, somewhat. Okay. You know, we deal with more of kids, not so much public school.
Right.
Kids that are in public schools probably stay in public right. schools. It's the kids that are in the St. Joe Cottlevilles and the Assumptions and ICDs. And it's not, and it's us and the all male and all female private schools that uh-huh. kind of, that we compete with, the Incarnates and the DeSmet CBCs.
Gotcha.
Those type of schools.
Cool. What's next?
For those listening that don't know this, tell us a little bit about your conference, the AAA.
Oh, I think from top to bottom in a lot of sports, we're good. We really are. Dominic, you know, it's funny. We're going to do, not next year, but the following year, we're going to do a kind of a competitive equity scheduling system, which a lot of public schools are going to right now.
And what does that even mean?
So instead of saying large school and small school, because we're the largest school, in right. there, we're yeah. you know, we have over 725 kids, and it'll be close to 800 in a couple of years, to where it's not based off enrollment, but based off of how you're going to be.
So like what the Suburban Conference
correct.
Is doing.
Correct. Okay. Suburban does it.
Wow. Except for football.
And so we did all the cycle or the scheduling of who's going to be in what Division I and Division II. So it's not large and small school. And only one sport will be in the small school, which is boys basketball. Yes. So
is definitely heavy loaded in basketball.
It is. So Dominic soccer is in Division I, and Dominic, right. you know, every other sport we're in Division I. But you know, with Division I,
give us some of the names. There's people out there who probably are listening to this that don't even yeah. recognize. I mean, you guys go from the Jeff City area, darn near, all the way down into the inner city. Give us some schools that people may not know are even in your conference.
Yeah, I'll give you kind of the breakdown of basketball. Cool. Since we're all so next year or in 2 years, it'll be Division I will be St. Mary's, Borgia, Cardinal Ritter, Trinity, and Father Tolton, which is out in Columbia.
Right.
And then Division II will be St. Dominic, Duchenne, DeBerg, Lutheran, and Christian.
Gotcha.
So, and on the girls' side, all those schools are still the same, but on the girls' side, we had Notre Dame and Rosati Kane.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I think 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, you'd have said AAA to me. I just said, I don't have any right. idea. I mean, you know, I just had no idea. But I think there's probably some people who just listened to that last 20 seconds going, I had no idea that Duchenne and Dominic were in the same conference
right.
as some of these basketball powerhouses. I mean, really, it's a great basketball conference.
Oh, it is.
What do we got next?
What has changed in your opinion in the last 5 to 10 years to have Dominic sort of take over the private sector in St. Charles County? It seems to be the place to go now over Duchenne.
Yeah, honestly, I can tell you just from like enrollment projections, it's based off population
right.
and kind of where people are moving to. St. Charles is kind of an older community to where the people have come through and they still live there. They're not moving and no new families are moving into St. Charles. They're moving out to O'Fallon
yep.
and to Wentzville and to Darting Prairie. And
everybody you talk to, it's like, oh, where do your kids go to school? Assumption.
Right.
You know, I mean, and that's my teachers at Orchard Farm that I go to school with. And the same thing that's hurting Duchenne a little bit is also, I mean, it's no lie, it's hurting us too. I mean, we went from, you know, 1,100 in right. 2001 and we're down to low 700s. You know, because we're landlocked, you know,
yep.
I mean, everybody around here is kind of the same boat. This is old time St. Charles and people don't leave.
No, they don't.
You know, and I think it is more population and not, let's say, coaches or facilities or.
Facilities dominant Duchenne.
I do too, because I think Duchenne's a little bit landlocked as far as what they can do.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of. It's almost a residential. I mean, you go to right. Dominic, it looks.
Well. And it's because I'm on the inside and I can even tell you, you give it and I know what's going to happen there. In 2 years, you're going to come and the place is going to look completely different.
Really?
Like completely different.
Duchenne or Dominic?
Dominic. Okay. And it's going to look amazing. We're, will be visible from Highway 70.
Really?
And so it's going to look, it's going to be great. And I think it's just, you know, one way that, because we do have a lot of kids, because we're the biggest archdiocese school, kind of the only self-sustaining archdiocese school, that we can take on a little debt and, you know, definitely right. expand what we're doing out there.
That's gonna be sweet.
It will be.
Well, and really, you don't have a lot of competition. I mean, if you think about, you go 40 miles west and you come this way, 25, 30 miles, you got Duchenne. But other than that, you know, if a kid's looking for that particular arrangement, you guys have pretty good pickings.
We do.
And do you think that school will ever, do you think Dominic will ever have 1,000 kids?
You know what? I don't know. Yes, I think so.
I think so
at
too.
Some point, I think we will. It's going to be a while, but, you know, with what we're doing, and it's not, I deal with the athletic side, but the academic sides of right. the programs that are going to come available. And we just got this like 3D Z space thing that we just bought. And it's amazing.
You guys are doing things, it sounds like, that the public schools are doing technology wise, because you guys can do it
right.
and you guys can fund it.
Correct.
You know, and that's great. I mean, 10 years from now, we're probably going to be looking at something totally strange to me. It's going to be Dominic's going to be large, getting larger and kind of the place to be. And then Orchard Farm. I mean, it's kind of like two yep. different places, but are both just continuing to populate because the only place to live in St. Charles is the Newtown areas right. and they're developing more down there. So that's Orchard Farm. And then everyone, you know, landlocked here, they get married. Where do they move? They move to Wentzville,
yep.
unless you're me.
You come back to St. Charles.
Exactly. So that's interesting, and we've all seen it coming, and it's a good place to be, I guess is what I'm saying for you right now.
Right.
So that's awesome.
Tell us about the Duchenne Dominic rivalry.
Well, you know what? When I was at Dominic the first time, you know, everybody and their grandma told me about the rivalry. I kind of understood it because my wife is a Duchenne grad, and so she kind of told me about everything. You know, they do things right. I think we do things right. So the rivalry, I think it's just, it's organic. It's natural. I think the kids, like you said, there's only two really Catholic private schools in St. Charles County. And so we, you know, it's just a natural rivalry.
It's a pretty healthy rivalry.
Oh, it is.
I mean, I think both of the schools have a lot of respect for each other.
Oh, definitely. On the, you know, speaking on the basketball sides of things, you know, I respect Wade and what he's done over the years. And, you know, for all the other sports, I think their athletic director, Debbie, she's awesome. She's awesome, and they do things the right way.
They did. She was in my carpool
when I was
at St. Cletus. She was awesome. Actually, we've talked about, and maybe she'll listen to this one, we've actually talked about getting her on here sooner than later. So we'll have to reach out to Debbie. So what do we got next here, Luke?
Going to a basketball perspective, when did you become a zone guy, and at what point in your career, and what are some of the advantages and disadvantages of playing a zone?
Well, that's a great question. So I always played man at DeSmet. We always played man. And then I went at SEMO. We always played man. And then I coached under a Hall of Fame coach. Paul Hale was his name. He coached a little small town, Bernie, and then Dexter.
So I can blame Paul Hale for these headaches I get when Paul. I'm trying to game plan for this.
Yes. Okay. So Paul actually, and I when
Damn
I was
you,
a
Paul
J,
Hale.
He won 700 games or something like that. And, yeah, and he runs it a little different. And the good thing, the advantages about running a zone, that the type of zone we run is year to year, it's different because of the basically your personnel. 4 years ago, when I was the coach at Dominic, I had a 6'8 kid who could alter shots, so you could put more pressure on. I had a little guard, Josh Sargent, who plays
we
for
know
the,
that name. Yeah.
yeah. So, you know, and he could flat out guard anybody. So you can do things differently. This year, we're not big, so we have to adjust on how we do things. And if you see us guard early on in the year to now, you're going to see some different things just because of, all right, well, we thought we could do it that way, but we can't.
So if you were... I guess what I'm saying here is if at Dominic, you know, you see guys come in, do you want your guards to be extremely good ball pressure guys? And do you want that 6'7", 6'8" guy so you can extend it? Like what's a prototype, you know, if you had the right combination, what is it?
Right. You want your guards to be, you have to be able to guard the ball.
Okay.
Like if you can put pressure on the ball, everybody right. else can do their job. And we always talk about, you know, we've seen everything. You
right.
know, we have rules that each player has and each position has, and those rules cover about 95% of what we're going to see. And then the other 5% is just athleticism, reaction, and what you can do, you know, just to kind of ball hawk the, you know, the other team. So we'll never play. I won't say never. We'll never play man.
Right.
We'll always be a zone team. We'll always press. Pressing is a huge thing because I always say you think pressing teams want to speed it up.
Right.
But no, we'll press Cardinal Ritter to slow it down. So we control the tempo of the game. Try to by pressing. We press everybody and every team we can.
Right.
So
it's a unique zone because, you know, when people, I think people just have that, you know, man, coaches like myself have that personality of your zone is different because when most people think of zones, they think of the 2-3 CYC fifth grade team, the B team that can't guard anybody and the coach doesn't know what he's doing. So right. He's like, but you guys do a great job of at all times. The ball is being guarded, and it's being guarded with some intense pressure. And like you said, you slow the Cardinal Ritters, you know, you press them, but they get the ball, they throw the ball inbounds, they see two of your guys, they got to slow down.
Right.
You know, it's one of those deals where, and I would assume on your end, when you do lose games, I mean, is it usually because the other team's hitting threes?
It is. It is. Like, we just lost to Borgia last week or 2 weeks ago, and they hit a whole bunch of shots.
Yeah.
But when we watched film with the team, there was a lot of things that we did wrong just on our rotations of why that shot happened that we got to correct. And you know what gives us fits is if you have a really really skilled big guy to where we're forced to double. Now if they're just big, we can guard that.
Right.
But if they're skilled, and
like
you're forced,
like the kid from
Sykeston, yeah. Like, we would be forced to double that. And when you force to double, now you're playing 4-on-3 on the outside.
Right.
And so your rotations really have to be kind of spot on.
You know what gives us fits? His defense.
Yeah, they do. It's no secret. We've had – but I think that's kind of, you know, every team I watch you guys play, I mean, you know, it's going to give you fits because if you're a man team and you don't kind of run some more motion this year, but if you're – obviously it takes away, you know, on your end, it takes away – the sets that other teams do, it makes your game planning easier, in my opinion. And your kids, I always tell my guys that sometimes when you play teams like yourself, I can probably go down, sit on the end of the bench. Mm-hmm. I can probably just get a drink of water and sit there because the kids got to make plays.
They do.
And I can't really, I can put guys in certain situations, but you know, they got a ball fake. They got to move the ball.
Right.
They got to do things that, you know, they're not robots when we play you guys. You know, sometimes you can turn your kids into robots and all of a sudden you can win games by calling this, that, or the other thing. But when you play against a zone, kids got to make shots and kids got to move the ball. And
see, we don't, and this is just me, but I don't scout teams offensively, individual players on what they do. But a lot of times if you run a man set against us, we're going to be able to guard it. If you run your zone stuff, we're going to be able to guard it. It's kind of the tricky one hitter type things that really kind of give us fits, but it's just make adjustments.
Yeah.
So when we do scouting reports, it's all our offense on what we can do.
Cool. That's interesting.
What does a typical Dominic practice look like on November 15th, your early season standard 2-hour practice?
It's intense. I tell you what, it's intense. If you ever watch me coach, I yell. I like to get the tempo going. I dictate the tempo by coaching. And I think in the beginning of the season, that's what I do. It's really intense. It's very heavily on defense because we have to get that down. Next year, when I lose 8 seniors, I have one guy returning. It's going to be a lot of teaching. We do a lot of guarding with holding towels. We wrap towels around our neck, and that's how we play, 70% of the practices because we want them to be able to move their feet. So we try to get their hands out.
So explain that. Explain the towel thing in the hands. What is...
Yeah, so obviously, you know, guys reach a lot, and especially when you're trying to pressure the ball, you want to be able to keep a guy in front of you by moving your feet.
Right.
And so we give them towels. Everybody has a towel, and they just wrap it around. And when we do our closeout drills, when we do, 4-on-3 or 5-on-4 or whatever it is, it's... that's what they're at.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
So that's neat.
It is. It's something that I learned a long time ago from Paul. And, Paul was a big proponent of that because now all of a sudden, and you watch the kids because the last 15 minutes of practice, we'll do a little scrimmage. And now all of a sudden the defense is a lot better. You know, their hands are out. And so, but their feet are moving at the same pace that they were at the beginning of practice.
That's interesting because I was talking to Coach Hollander today because I think you, do you play them soon?
We play them on Tuesday.
Yeah. And he was talking about how good of defense you guys have and how the on-ball pressure is pretty good. And you guys do a good job. But one thing he did compliment you on was he goes, you know, sometimes he goes, you know, they press you a little bit and he goes, and then you think you can kind of get going. He goes, next, you know, you look up and all those suckers are back in the lane again. Yeah. You know, your kids do a good job and they play hard. That's a unique thing. There's probably people out there listening that are going to be going to buying towels tomorrow.
I hope so.
It really
helps.
It makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I learn from other coaches if somebody had a good idea. And I think this is one that really, it's helped us in the past.
Right.
Coach, you going to go buy some towels tomorrow before school?
You know, I always look for towels at our place. And we always, I can never.
They're always dirty.
They're dirty. Like, can we just get a nice stack of, you know, 20 towels and laundry them every once in a while? Because every time I go in to get a towel, the first place I go to get a towel is the hamper, the dirty hamper in our training room. Because I know there'll be one or two sitting in there.
I'll tell you this. I've had the same set of 10 towels that I've had from when I was a JV coach at Notre Dame. And I wash them every day. And I wash them. And they're ratty and nasty after every game. I take them home and I wash them.
Does each kid like get the same one every day?
Oh, they probably do. They sit. Yeah, those kids that are unfortunately at the end of the bench, they grab one and that's probably the same one. Yep.
Oh, the towel. That's a whole new towel guy.
The towel revolution.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. This is great.
What's the difference between being an AD at Dominic and an AD at the Smet?
You know what? I think it's just the outside perspective of the two schools. You know, DeSmet, it was, and I hate saying this, but people that are, you know, the regular people that go to work 9 to 5 and they're at the water cooler. They're not talking about DeSmet's academic program. They're talking about the football coach. They're talking about the basketball coach. They're talking about the soccer team and everything like that. So there's a lot of strong, really dominant personality coaches there too. So trying to reel all them in to be under one vision. And I'm not saying that it's like not like that at Dominic, but first off, Jim Welby did a great job of setting expectations. So taking over that job was pretty easy. And the coaches that we have at Dominic are great. But it's you know, there's non-traditional sports that DeSmet had, like hockey and rugby and frisbee. And so I when I'm at Queenie Park at 10 o'clock at night supervising a hockey game, that's
how rowdy do those get? They're playing like terrible. CBC or Slough High.
Terrible.
Queenie Park, it's on a Friday night. It's terrible. Well, you know, Walsh from Biani was telling us when we were over there, him and I have gotten pretty close, and he was saying when he was the principal, he said it was the worst.
It was.
He said hockey games are the worst because...
Well, here's the worst part about it is you walk in and they serve beer and the parents... Our parents and the other team's parents are sitting there drinking prior to the game.
Yes.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
He said, there's nothing we can do about it. And he said, you know, I can stand there in front of all of them and I can act like I'm in charge. But he's like, he said he hated doing that.
Right.
You know,
and there's lots of, unfortunately, like when you play a SLU or CBC or Vianney, there was a lot of fights afterwards. So yeah. roaming the parking lots looking for high school fights to break up.
I'm sure that's exactly what you want to be doing at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah. We don't fight at Dominic. No. So.
Well, and I think, you know, when it comes down to it's the people, you know, it's the people and the tight knit people. And when you see people, and it's a St. Charles thing too. You know, you see the same people over and over at Duchenne and Dominic. Those faces that I could literally at Dominic and Duchenne, and even at St. Charles West, you know, you see a face and you put them to that's a Dominic person. Like I might not know their name, but I have seen that face, and that face continues to go back to Dominic, and they don't have kids involved anymore. They're just, that's what they do.
Right.
You know, and it's a great place. So we got a few more.
All right. Take a look at our district, which is in a couple weeks.
Yep.
We got only on the boys' side because that's all we care about.
Incarnate's in the district.
Yeah, so that's why we're not even going to talk about it.
Yeah, that's
right.
That doesn't work out very well. So in our district, it's St. Dominic, St. Charles West, Orchard Farm, St. Charles High, Fort Zumaldis, and McClure. Preview that for us.
Well, first off, and I'm sure Coach would tell you the same thing here, but it's honestly anybody's district.
It is.
It's really. I've seen McClure play once. They're good, but
who'd you see him play against?
God, I got a film on them. I'd have to look at who they played against. They're good. I'll give them credit. They're good. But I think all of our teams are. From 1 to 4, or actually, yeah, 1 to 4 is going to be tough seeding. It really is. I think there's a lot of good players. I think that it being at West gives you guys a definite edge.
I need the crowd for that, though, because there could be a very good chance that Thursday night we're playing 8:30 against St. Charles High.
I could see that. Definitely. In my opinion, it could easily be McClure, St. Charles West, St. Charles High, Dominic. Mm-hmm. But based off our record, I think that's where we'll probably be seated, which it's fine by me.
It's one of those districts where it really doesn't matter where you're seated because it's not like you're gaining much of an advantage.
No.
I mean, you look at it and obviously, and it's kind of a unique, like every team kind of has their own unique style, unique thing. Like for instance, you guys play really good zone. You guys got some seniors. Nothing's going to overwhelm you guys at this point. Us senior laden heavy guard play,
man-to-man teams,
shoot it, we're going to try to, try to shoot it the best we can. Orchard Farm, they play as hard as any team that we play all year long and they got nothing to lose. The only guy I think in this that has a guy that can kill you inside.
Oh, I know.
Zumwalt East has athletes and they play funky to where they can nip anybody. And then
McClure's super athletic.
Exactly.
So it just feels like that. It was last time we had districts at West 14, 15 year. Kind of feels like that district. Any of those teams can kind of give you a run because those top four, I think they were in the semis. It was High. They played McClure. I mean, High beat them by 15 or something like that. And then West played Dominic. Those were four teams that could have given anybody a run. And then West High District Championship.
If you're a coach, you love it because there's not that one team it's like on the girls' side. I mean, there's not that one team where you're like, I think we could beat them one out of every 10 times and we're going to give it a shot. But I mean, everybody here and it's going to be exciting. And
it's a fight to who's going to win, who's going to get to the district championship.
It is. And it's, like I said, there's no comfort. Every team in there, you're going to have to play your best.
And then you get the district championship and bye-bye.
And then, you just hope for the best,
Just hope you don't get beat by 30.
If you could, I guess, if there was something else besides basketball and AD, is there something else that you would, what would you do if you could pick something?
If I could pick anything, stay-at-home dad.
That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I know.
ESPN all day, golf channel.
I'd love to be a golf marshal.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to be when I retire, just roll around in a golf cart. And I'm never going to ask anyone for their darn receipt. I hate those when you're out there.
Yeah.
You got your receipts? No, I just put everything in my bag. I promise I paid. I'm 35 years old. I got a group of three guys. You don't need to see my receipt. I don't know why I just talked about that. But
my
70.
My job is, there's so many hours and that I'm working. So the ability just, before I got here, I was coaching my fourth grade girls, my twin girls basketball team.
Right.
And that probably the highlight of my week was doing that.
Well, and I tell you, when you get to our age too, like yesterday, there's some people and parents who are like, oh, we got 5 games today. And I'm thinking to myself, this is awesome. I mean, I'm at batting cages at 9 o'clock with my son. We got, Maya had 2 basketball games and then I coached Landon's basketball game at 2:30. And then he had a soccer game at 5 o'clock. And I'm thinking, how cool, because I know what I would be doing if I didn't have any of this. I'd be going back to when I was 24 again, and I'm done with those days.
Oh, I know.
I can't. I'm not.
You're sitting at home watching the Blues game
I was putting down salt. All right. But, Kevin, first off, thanks for coming. I think this is something we always do because I think hopefully if it's 40 years from now and your kids, this is never going away.
Right.
And we hope that everyone who comes and does this, we hope that, years down the road when we're 50 or 60 years old, we can look back at this and we can say, man, that was a great time. But the stories, it's all about the stories and the people. And we want to thank you. This is, I think we talked about episode 18 or 19 for us.
Something like that.
And we're going to continue next week. We are going to bring in Alex Bazell next Sunday. He's obviously kind of stepped out of the Pure Sweat phase and now has opened up his own deal.
We're going to ask him about that.
Well, of course we will. Yeah. And he's obviously got some NBA clients and he's doing well. He actually just bought a house here in St. Charles. He's all over the place right now. So it'll be good to have him. And then in 2 weeks, tell him who we got.
We got Dr. Seifert.
So we have the superintendent of schools in St. Charles.
We got to ask him about the soccer club.
We do what we do. Yeah. And we also, you know, we'll talk about how his love for the Fort Sewell South Bulldogs still, since his son is there. But so we have a couple nice guests lined up. And once again, thanks to Kevin for coming out. And
this is Chuck and Lou.
This is Chuck, and that is Lou, and that's Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. We'll see you down the road here at District Play.
For sure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.